We're going to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. We're going to read the first 1 through 9 verses. And then we're going to go over to Acts chapter 2 and also read the first 1 through 9 verses. So Genesis 11, 1 through 9. And the word of God reads, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Sinar, and they dwelled there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth." Now we're going over to Acts chapter 2, 1 through 9. These two chapters tying together. So Acts 2, 1 through 9. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and begun to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these speech Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? The Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites, that those dwell in Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia.' May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words. You may be seated."
Thank you so very, very much. 2 days, we have been away from Christmas. The 25th. Now today is the 27th. And the theme that I want to be able to work with this morning would be the Holy Spirit and Christmas. We already had Christmas. Now what do we do after Christmas? Now the Holy Spirit and Christmas, another way to say it, the Holy Spirit and Christ. Because Christmas is Christ. So we have experienced already the presence of Christ coming for Christmas. And I want to show us in the scripture that what God wants us to be doing now. Oh, if you allow us to go over into 2021, then what will he have us to do? And I gave you two passages. The Genesis chapter 11, 1 through 9. And it tells one story. And then Acts chapter 1, or chapter 2, and 1 through 9. It tells the finished story that God intended. But before we get there, we need to be able to see what has transpired. The Holy Spirit and Christ. Starting off in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, we see the beginning of the Holy Spirit ministering. Now, we see the Holy Spirit in the beginning with the Word, in the beginning God. In the beginning God has reference to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one. Now, what do we see the Holy Spirit doing as he ministered? Look at verse 2 of Genesis 1, and we'll be able to see he has always ministered on behalf of the Father and on behalf of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Here is his independent actions in the Godhead. So it says in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This shows you that the Holy Spirit has always been at work. Eternity past, eternity present, eternity future. The Holy Spirit just didn't start, you see, in the New Testament. He has always been existent. He is God, the Holy Spirit. And you can be able to see when God was working out his eternal plans, the Holy Spirit was right there carrying out the responsibility. Now, there are seven things that we'll be able to look at this morning, not in detail, but in form. First of all, the Holy Spirit was in the perfection. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, perfect, in perfection. God has always been holy. The Holy Spirit has always been holy. Jesus has always been holy. So perfection in eternity past, the Holy Spirit was there during his ministry. And then when God created evangelical beings and all other beings, and then the fall took place. The fall took place. The Holy Spirit was there to be able to see what was done. The fall. And the fall is the reason that we have what? Christ, Christmas. The fall took place. Now, when the fall took place, that was the first sin. You understand that? You've been exposed to that. And after sin took place, God had a plan to correct sin. In Christ, and Adam, all died, and Christ, what? All made alive. So it was Christmas. God had Christmas in mind, Christ. And then power. Jesus is the power. And the Holy Spirit is responsible for the power being activated. And Matthew's chapter 1. Turn there, and I want to show you that the Holy Spirit has always been a part of Christmas, of Christ. Turn to Matthew's chapter 1 and verse 18. It said, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. You get it? That Jesus has always been accompanied by the Holy Spirit. Wherever you see Jesus, wherever you see the Father, the Holy Spirit is there. So, Christ is Christmas. And Christ came for a purpose, and that purpose would be able to change things, change from sin to salvation, to saving. And who's in charge of that? The Holy Spirit. And when we get over to Acts chapter 2 and 1 through 9, you're going to be able to see the Holy Spirit at work. But before we get there, we want to be able to look at Christ, the Holy Spirit, and Christmas. We first see the Spirit in Genesis 1-2. We looked at that. Now, God had a plan, and God's plan was to have a perfect environment for people to be able to see his glory. But God's garden was spoiled. God's garden was spoiled by the serpent, by Satan. And of course, God's purpose, what was God's purpose? God's purpose for the earth. Why did God create this Eden garden, this world, this earth was a garden, a perfect garden. And so God's purpose for the earth, what was God's purpose for the earth? And we see that in Genesis 1 through 11. And we see that Satan tries his best to be able to destroy God's garden. And he did a masterful job. So what was God's purpose for creating the world? What was his purpose? And God's purpose was to be able to show his greatness, God's greatness. That's why he created Eden. That's why he created the earth, because God is a great being. And we need to be able to see how great he is, because he created the heaven and the earth and all that's in it. That was his purpose. Not to be spoiled. Not for Satan to come to be able to cause chaos, but God's purpose for the earth was to be able to glorify him and show his greatness. And we see that in the beginning of chapter 1 through 9, and then we see how Satan intervened and also caused chaos to take place. Now, the devil and man had another purpose. And we see that in Genesis chapter 11. God had a purpose, what? To glorify himself. God wanted man to be able to see how great he is. And even for him to be able to create man in his likeness and after his likeness, to show how great God is. Not how great man is, but how great God is. So the devil and man had another purpose. And that other purpose is found in Genesis chapter 11, 1 through 9. Let's turn there. Genesis chapter 11, 1 through 9. This was God's purpose. Chapter 11. Now, the whole earth had one language. What we said, God intended for man to praise him. That's God created man to be able to respect, honor, to glorify him. And God gave one language to mankind. And that language should have been used for what purpose? To glorify God. That's why he gave it to him. Every creature, Adam, Eve, and their descendants, were to have one language, and that one language be able to glorify God. Notice, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. What was one speech? God is great. That's all to be said. Now we have angels saying, holy, holy, holy. That's all they say. Holy, holy, holy. One language. God is holy, holy, holy. They never get tired of saying that. And God had one purpose for giving man a speech. And the speech would be able to say how great God was. See it here? Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Everybody spoke the same language to say how great God was. But now notice, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Sinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. What was God's purpose? God's purpose for them to be able to show how great he was, to go all over the world to see God's beauty and God's greatness. What's the devil and man doing? Disobey God. God intended for man to be able to go all over this world to be able to see how great God is. This is what this is saying here. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us, now where's God? They didn't consider God at all. Who should have been worship God? Who should they consider God? They didn't. They were considering themselves. Let us make ourselves, let us be scattered, excuse me. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves. Where's God? God is the one that's great, but you see, the devil is leading the charge, and man is going along with it. So, why? Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. We don't want to do what God wants us to do. We want to be able to do what we want to do, and therefore we think that our plan is better than God. God wants us to go all over the earth to be able to see what he has done, but we're not so impressed with what God has done. We want to be impressed with what we are doing. The tower. We want to make a tower that will reach up to heaven. We don't need God to help us. You see that? Verse 5 said, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. God saw what man was doing, and God knew what man was doing, which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And they're using the language against me, in essence. What is my purpose? God made man to be able to go all over the earth and see all the beauty and be able to glorify me. And now man done called a co-op meeting to be able to do their own thing. And isn't that what happened today and all over? Yes. They all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld. And false religions, cults, have been popping up ever since. God is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way of life. But no. The name of you, we want to tell you, God, how we ought to be saved. We're not impressed with what you are doing. We're not impressed at all. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. Notice. Come, in verse 7, come, let us go down and there confuse their language. And God said, if I let them keep on doing what they are doing, they will never see me. And that's when God allowed things to happen. So we will look up. If we didn't look up on our own, God says, I'm going to be able to make them look up. I want to let them know that I'm in charge. So, come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. One another's speech means, I see. Yeah, this is a better deal. This is a better deal. Well, what God said, oh, he doesn't exist. Evolution is better. We don't need to be able to trust what God said because God is old-fashioned. He doesn't know what's going on. We know what's going on. Notice it here. Come now, let us go and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So, the Lord, notice, scattered them abroad. They're over the face of all the earth. And they ceased building this city. Notice what God did. Now, one thing that happened. You see, God scattered them, but also he changed the language so that they could not plan against God. Some went this way and all over the world, God scattered everywhere, all over the world, but different languages. And that happened, you see, until Christ came. Christmas. It was Christmas that caused the world to be put back in its proper place. And we'll see that when we get over to Acts chapter 2. Jesus came. You see, Jesus came. Mary had a son and called him God with us. You had to have Christmas. Christmas has to be there because Christmas is Christ. Well, let's see. God came down to man. Jesus now came into the world. Now, Christmas has already been. We know that Christmas has already been, but what is God's will for Christmas? Well, you say, well, we had good food, we had toys, and we had gifts, and yes, all that's maybe secondary, but why we had Christmas? Christmas. Well, we're going to be able to see what caused us to be able to have Christmas. Christmas made it possible for us to be able to speak the same language again. Because, you see, God sent by the power of the Holy Spirit, he sent a man by the name of John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of before Christ, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was baptizing people to repent, to receive Christmas, Christ. And he said, I'm baptizing you in the name and the water. I'm baptizing you in water. But then when Jesus came on the scene, 30 years of age, when he came on the scene, John said, I need to be baptized for you. And you want me? And Jesus said, well, we need to fulfill the promises. And he said, I knew who he was because the one that sent me to baptize said, the one that you see the Holy Spirit resting upon, and the Holy Spirit was resting upon Jesus. Jesus was the Christ. He is the one. And the one you see the Holy Spirit rest upon and remain, that is the one that's going to be able to save the world. Okay? That's what the scripture points out. So, what happened? Jesus came preaching. He came preaching. And then, after he preached, showed that he was the Son of God, having all power, the next thing happened. It was time for him to go to the cross. Christmas went to the cross. Christ went to the cross. And after he went to the cross, and after he came back from the dead, he started to move forward. My Father is going to send you another comforter. And when the comforter comes, he's going to teach the world about me. He's going to teach the world about Christmas. Who is Christmas? Christ. And what he's going to do? He's going to be able to bring back. And let's turn to it. Turn now to Acts chapter 2. Now, chapter 1 of Acts tells you that Jesus is going to be the one that we look forward to come. So it said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, 50 days after the resurrection. Jesus now is Christmas. But 50 days, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord. Now, John the Baptist had already said that we were going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, by fire. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. The Holy Spirit is coming to what? To take full control of the world. Where is Jesus? Jesus now is going back to sit at the right hand of the Father. And now he is here going to be able to take the church, to be able to give the language back so that the whole world can learn about him. That's the secret. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now the miracle here was that this wind was not a tornado. It was not anything out of control, but it was under control. It didn't tear up anything. It came what? To fulfill the promise. This was the Holy Spirit. This is God coming to fulfill those men and women, and also us that believe in Jesus Christ. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. These 120. The Holy Spirit now. Well, now what's his purpose? He's going to baptize them in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his purpose. He came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Now this is the fire from heaven. This is not the fire of hell. This is the fire of heaven. And you know the scripture, God is a consuming fire. This is God's fire. You see, Jesus is God's gift to us. And so when the Holy Spirit came, he came to anoint and to baptize us into Jesus Christ. And when we were baptized, John baptized in water. Now, when you're baptized in water, what happened? You see, sprinkling is not sufficient. But you baptize in water for every part of you, from your head, hair, to your feet, are immersed in water. Baptism. And notice the baptism taking place here. The same thing by fire. They were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongue as of fire, and one set upon each of them. The fire from their head down through their feet. When you receive Jesus Christ, you receive all of him. All of him. And you are baptized into him. And he's with you forever. The scripture says he is with you forever. Lo, I'm with you always. Not only that, you get the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is there to be able to carry out everything that Jesus said. We are baptized into Jesus. This is what this is saying here. Notice. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody baptized. You see, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are sealed until the day of redemption. You are sealed. You never lose your salvation. And the Holy Spirit is with you always, because Jesus Christ is in you, and the Holy Spirit is in you and with you. You've been baptized. Now, for what purpose? Notice. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, languages. You recall when God spread the whole world out and they had their own languages? Now God sent the universal language back. Now everybody can understand that Jesus is the Savior of the world. See, it was confusion back over in the 11th chapter of Genesis. And they had to separate because they couldn't understand each other. But now the Holy Spirit is present here to be able to make certain that you understand that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And Christmas makes sense. Notice. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem, verse 5, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now these folks that had been scattered all over the world, and we got people scattered today, and the Holy Spirit is in the process, and that's when Brother Doar is going out as a missionary, because God is using men that know Jesus Christ and under the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak the language. Jesus is a Savior. Jesus is Christmas. The fulfillment. That's where you got the missionaries and churches everywhere. And they're speaking the same language. Jesus is the Savior of the world. So it says here, they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. What did God do at first? They couldn't understand each other because they had the wrong purpose. They didn't have God in the mix, in the midst. But now when Christmas is in the proper place, when Christ is in the proper place, they were able to understand each other's language. And when you're born again, when you're saved, when you receive Jesus Christ, you're speaking the same language. He's the Savior of the world. Now, others that are not born again, they don't understand your language. But the moment they receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the Holy Spirit makes certain that they understand that Jesus is the Savior. That's how you can tell a person is born again. That's when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And when you're born again, the Holy Spirit never leaves you. Look further. Verse 7. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? You see, back over in chapter 11 of Genesis, you see they had the wrong purpose. And God said, no, that's not what I want. I want them to be able to see my glory, my honor. And therefore, I want them to be able to have the same language. But they're going to have a Christmas experience. They're going to have to be able to be born again, where they can be able to understand what's going on. And he said, how is it then? How is it that we hear each of our own language when we were born? How? What has transpired? That baby in the manger, that baby that grew up at 12 years of age, that baby that was baptized at 30 years of age, that baby that was in the wilderness and was tested by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights, that Jesus, he is the one that had been baptized, you have been baptized into. And then you find from chapter 2 on to the end of the book, to Revelation, it all talks about Jesus. Jesus. The Holy Spirit now. And Christmas. Holy Spirit came now to be able to say, Jesus has fulfilled what he has promised. He came. He died. He said it's finished. And as a result of that, then you need to be able to accept it as your personal Savior. I will send you fire. I'll baptize you with fire. And you see, that's why God can be able to destroy anything that comes in our lives. Because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment. We are being holy. The Holy Spirit and Christmas. Christ. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit and fire. Salvation and walking with God. The Holy Spirit and fire is walking with God. Talking about God only forever. That is, when you are burned by the Holy Spirit, only God is who you want to be able to talk about. Only God. Holy Spirit and fire. John said that you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Enoch walked with God and he was burning. Paul was walking with God and he was burning. And all saints and all of us that really know Jesus Christ is burning to be able to get the message out. And I challenge each one of us to not just have a successful Christmas, but realize that Jesus Christ is Christmas. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful gift, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you that you opened our hearts to receive your Son. And thank you for the Holy Spirit. And now we don't know, Lord, what's going to take place the next year. But we're thankful, Lord, that you are saved by your power and your grace. Undertaking a special way now, in Jesus' name, amen.